We'll never forget that sound. It was awful. Nor will I forget the feeling of terror that flooded my body and the conflicted thoughts that ran through my brain. I was not even 17 years old, and it was the summer between my junior and senior years of high school. I was in Columbus, Ohio, participating in a three-week-long program for high school students called Summer Seminary Sampler, hosted by the seminary that I would eventually attend. My fellow Samparans and I, along with our seminary student counselors, were staying in the basement rooms of a dorm building at Capital University across the street from the seminary. And about 2 weeks into the program, I woke in the middle of the night to what sounded like somebody being stabbed out in the hallway. In between piercing exclamations resembling screams, there was moaning, which only further reinforced my immediate assumption that somebody was in pain not too far from the other side of my door. I laid in bed, completely awake, trying to figure out what to do. If it had been a week earlier, I could have woken up my roommate, I mean, assuming that she wasn't already awake, and asked her what she thought. But my roommate had had some extenuating circumstances and gone home, so I was alone in the room. I couldn't call or text anyone. Cell phones were not yet ubiquitous, and there also wasn't a phone in the room. So I was alone with the sounds of what had to be somebody, I thought, getting a knife to the gut every 15 or 20 seconds just outside my door. I was conflicted. I wanted to go help whoever it was to check on them, especially if something was really happening and I could go get someone else to help or call 911. But I also wasn't sure what was happening out in the hallway, and there wasn't a peephole to check. I didn't want to open my door to some crazed person holding a knife and then discover that I was there, alone in my room. So I went back to sleep. I regret that decision. I also don't know how I did that. I don't know how I managed to sleep, knowing that somebody was in pain and possibly, at least it sounded like, dying outside my door. In the event of having to make a difficult decision in which my own life would be on the line, I chose to save myself. Just like almost every human in today's text from John. Everyone winds up choosing not to put him or herself on the line, including Pilate. Jesus, by the point that we get to the reading today, had already been held in for questioning, having been handed over by the chief priests on undisclosed charges. Repeatedly, Pilate has questioned Jesus, even to going to the point of having him flogged, and yet still cannot find Jesus guilty. Yet Pilate just can't find the courage to let Jesus go either. He asks the chief priests to take him back, and they won't. They know that Jesus is a threat to their way of life, and they want him gone. Pilate asks the crowd if they want to release Jesus or Barabbas, and they choose Barabbas. Undoubtedly, some in the crowd chose Barabbas simply because they were caught up in the mob mentality, and yet they chose him anyway. Pilate looks for every excuse to free Jesus without putting himself in danger, and yet just cannot summon enough courage to use whatever authority he has to do it on his own. Time after time, Jesus is failed by the very people that he came to save, choosing to save themselves instead. Time after time, we choose the same. Not just teenagers in dorm rooms, but any of us who have sat on a metro train and watched a parent hit a child and not speak up for that child. Or those who have joined in mocking or laughed at someone else's pain and humiliation. Or those of us who have chosen not to give up extra money that we may have so someone may eat, especially when we have plenty at home. Or those of us who have failed to speak up in a public contentious debate, choosing silence over the anticipated pain of vulnerability and the possibility of lost relationships. Every one of us has sided against Jesus at one point or another, having been condemned by our own choice of what we deem powerful, what is pragmatic and expedient, or maybe simply just to save ourselves. Especially when you're alone in a dorm room with someone in pain immediately outside your door. Jesus repeatedly invites Pilate to see things differently, to see Jesus for who he is. God is standing between him. It is that same invitation that I think Jesus continues to extend to each of us. He stands in front of us, inviting us to see things differently, to see the world differently, to see that this world does not have the ultimate power and authority over us, but instead that there is a greater power, to see that we can and should give of ourselves for the sake of the world. Which is good news for the almost 17-year-old me. It really is also good news for the almost 26-year-old me. Because especially since the sounds I heard that night were not someone getting sick. Instead, they were the sounds of one of my friends suffering from a bout of food poisoning and then throwing up the trash can in the hallway, rather violently, alone. I didn't have the courage to discover that I wasn't in any danger, and I lost an opportunity to care for my friend, who was alone. And yet Jesus still invites me to follow him, to see things differently, to live differently, to be different, to have the courage to face my fears. It is the same invitation that Jesus extends to you, to face your fears, to live as people of light in the midst of darkness. It's an invitation that Jesus never